1 John 3. The last message I preached, I titled it, The Manifest Difference. And I was going to preach in verses 4 through 10, but we only got to verse 7. And we really dealt with how that the apostate, John says, transgresses the law, in addition to transgressing against God the Father and God the Son. And he says, but you know that Christ came and put away our sin, and in him is no sin. And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. And so his people don't look anywhere else. We continue in him. And so he says, so don't let anybody deceive you. That person that believes on Christ, abides in Christ, he's righteous as Christ is righteous. You don't have to add anything to Christ. That's what he's saying. You don't have to go back to the law. And see, that those verses would have been really good to preach and titled it something else. And then tonight, then, come back and preach on verses 8 through 10 and preached on the manifest difference. So, at any rate, I'm going to preach verses 8 through 10 tonight, and I've titled it, Children of the Devil, the Children of God. And so let's read this together. Verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And he said in verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil. But he said in verse 9, Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For Christ's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Here's the open, unmistakable, manifest difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. There's a difference that the grace of God has made between the child of God and the child of the devil. And I've been preaching this same message now for the past 3 messages, I think. I think this is our 4th message on it. And I'm not really going to say anything different because I really want us to get this. Because when you, John's purpose here is to comfort the Lord's people and give you some assurance and comfort you that we're safe and secure in Christ the Lord. And most of what I've ever heard out of this passage, not by faithful men, but by other preachers, most of what I've ever heard out of this passage has left me looking to me and has left me thinking, okay, I need to be doing more works. I need to be doing more to sin not and to do righteousness, or I can't have any assurance. And that does not give me any assurance, because a believer never sees that in ourselves. We look at ourselves and all we see is sin. And so we have no comfort. If you're going to tell me and try to comfort me that the difference between a child of God and the child of the devil is that the child of God walks on a higher plane, and that he puts down his sin and he doesn't have sin, and he does all these righteous things in the law, that's not going to comfort me. Because I'm like Paul in Romans 7. That which I would do, I don't do. And that which I hate, I do. So that message doesn't comfort me. But it's for that reason that as a believer, I know that's not what John's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. Now let's look at the children of the devil, and then we'll look at the children of God. Now first of all, verse 8, he says, He that committeth sin is of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, what does John mean by committeth sin. What does he mean here by this? There are Bibles that have translated this totally different from what the word means. They've translated it into practicing sin and things that makes it so that the only thing you could get out of it is your works, your things you do, your obedience. But he said here, he that committeth sins of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. And what he's telling us here, brethren, is whatever the devil's sin is, that's the sin he's talking about. Whatever the devil's sin is, that's the sin he's talking about. Because like begets like. If my father is the devil, I'm going to be like the devil. If I'm born of God, I'm going to be like my heavenly father. So let's see what the devil is like. Go to John chapter 8. And this is the best commentary because these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, and look here in verse 37. Now, our Lord Jesus here is speaking to Pharisees. And he said, I know that you're Abraham's seed. They put all this confidence in being natural sons of Abraham. But look what he says, but you seek to kill me. You seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. They answered, said unto him, Abraham's our father. Now listen to what he said. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, and what he means is, if you were the spiritual sons of Abraham, if you were the spiritual sons of Abraham, he says you would do the works of Abraham. You'd do what Abraham did when he heard this word. And without a doubt, you would. Look here, verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't do that. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. He's saying you're committing the sin of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. And what they meant by that is, you claim to be born of a virgin, you're born of a harlot. That's what they meant by that. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. And no question about it, he's saying. You would believe on me. You would continue abiding in me. You would not be able to stop loving me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts, the sins of your father ye will do. He's saying this is all you can do, and you can't do anything else. You will do the sins of your father. Here's the sin the devil commits. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. That's the devil's sin. He was a murderer who abode not in the truth of Christ from the beginning. Now look, read on. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Isn't that amazing? He's saying, if I would tell you a lie, you'd believe me. But because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Two times here he said, spoken of believing Him. Believing Him. This is the opposite of trying to kill Him. Believing Him. He says, why don't you? He says, if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, he that's a child of God, he heareth God's words. He obeys. He believes on Christ. He abides in Christ. He continues in Christ. He abides in the doctrine of Christ. He that's of God. Yet, therefore, he says, ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And before it was over with, they proved that what he was saying was true, because at the last few verses there, they picked up stones and tried to kill him. The devil's sin was he was a murderer. He loved not the brethren. He didn't love Christ and he didn't love the brethren. He was a murderer and he abode not in the truth. He believed not on Christ because there's no truth in him. Christ said, those who are of their father, the devil. He said, the lusts of your father, the sins your father committed, that's the sins you will do. That's all you can do. You'll attempt to murder Christ and murder the brethren. You won't love the Christ. You won't love your brethren. And you will not believe and abide in the truth. Because you're of your devil, and that's all you can do. So, the children of the devil, here's the sin they commit. The sin of not believing on Christ, not abiding in Christ, not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. They seek to kill Christ and kill the brethren because they don't love Christ and they don't love brethren. Here's an example in our text. 1 John 3, verse 12. He's talking about love and he says we're to love one another. And he says, not as Cain. Now look what we see about Cain, who was of that wicked one. He was a child of the devil. And what'd he do? He slew his brother. What was the sin of the devil? He's a murderer. What did Cain do? He killed his brother. He murdered his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. There's only one thing we know that Cain did, other than killing his brother. There's only one other thing we know, and this is the thing that made him understand his works were wicked. And this is what shows us that his works were wicked, evil. He came to God with the works of his own hands. That's all he did. That's all we have that he did. That tells us he abode not in the truth. He didn't believe the gospel. He didn't believe on Christ. He abode not in the truth. And because he saw that his brother's works were righteous, and the only thing that the Bible teaches us about Abel is he came with the blood of a lamb. Meaning, he abode in the truth. He abode in Christ. He believed Christ. He knew he had to come to God in the blood of a lamb. And so, when Cain saw that his own works were wicked and his brothers were righteous, that God received Abel and he didn't receive him. When he heard that, for that reason, he killed his brother. So there's the two things that Cain, a child of the devil, did. He did not believe on Christ and he killed his brother because he didn't love his brother. I don't want to get into that. We're going to look at that next time more. But we'll look at that again. But here's what I want you to see now. Throughout this epistle, and if you go back now and read this epistle again, this probably will help you. Throughout this epistle, John says that the child of the devil is manifest in that he commits this same sin. He doesn't believe on Christ, nor does he love his brother. But John says it in a bunch of different phrases, a bunch of different ways. But they all mean this same sin. They all mean he doesn't believe Christ and he doesn't love the brethren. John calls it walking in darkness. He calls it doing not the truth, keeping not his commandments. They went out from us. He calls it denying the Father and the Son. He calls it abiding in death. believing not God, and sinning the sin unto death. That's just a few of the names he gives this sin of not believing Christ and not loving the brethren. And in his text here, look down at verse 10, he says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Here's the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And now, this is the fourth message. We understand now that doing not righteousness is not believing on Christ. That's what it is to not do righteous, is to not believe on Christ. Because Christ is the righteousness of His people. God says, believe on My Son. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He sent. Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And you read John 13, 14, 15. He just repeatedly keeps telling Thomas and Philip and the other apostles, believe on Me. Believe that that the Father's in Me and I'm in the Father, and that the works I'm doing, He sent Me to do. Believe on Me. Even when He said there, He said, if whatever you ask, you'll receive it. I'll give it to you. And Rob just read it. Whatever you ask, believing, you shall receive. So, the sin that he committeth, that is of the devil, is the sin of murder, it's of not loving brethren, and it's of abiding not in the truth. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So secondly now, let's look at the child of God, and he's manifest in that he says now, he can't commit this sin. The child of God's manifest in that he can't commit this sin. Look again with me at verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. He's just like his father. And he says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And whosoever is born of God, whoever has God for his father, doth not commit sin. And he's talking about the same sin. He doesn't commit that sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. And when you're reading through John and you're reading all those words I just gave you that are just different ways of saying he does not believe Christ, he does not love the brethren, you can also read through there and John speaks of believing Christ and loving brethren in a bunch of different ways. He calls it walking in light. He calls it keeping his commandments, keeping Christ's word, abiding in Christ, abiding in light, sinning not, doing righteousness. And all these phrases means the same thing. They mean what it says in verse 23. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. That's what all these phrases mean, all through it. So all through the book, this epistle, the way he's comforting us is he's showing the difference between the child of the devil and the child of God. And he's saying that everything that the child of God does is due to the works of Christ. Look here. The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil for God's particular people. If He just came forth to destroy the works of the devil for everybody, then nobody would commit that sin. Nobody would. But everybody that He came and destroyed the works of the devil for, they don't commit this sin, and they can't commit this sin. And that's His people. That's God's elect. Go to Hebrews 2 and verse 10. I have to remember that you've been sitting here a little longer than what my stopwatch says up here. Hebrews chapter 2. And verse 10, it became Him, it was becoming to His righteousness, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren." Look down at verse 13. He said there at the end, "Behold, I and the children which God hath given me." Now listen to verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, Christ also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Our text says he came forth, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He came forth that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now look at verse 16. Remember how Christ said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham? Watch this, verse 16. "Verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." He was made in the likeness of Abraham's children. And that means his spiritual seed. That's who he came to save. Verse 17. "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him." It was becoming of him and his righteousness to be made like unto his brethren in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for that in them himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to succor them that are tempted. So to make reconciliation for his people, he had to be made in all points like his brethren. So therefore, he was made of a woman. He was made under the law. He was made sin for his people. He was made a curse for us. In all points, he did all this. And with all his people dwelling in him, I'll keep this short and simple. What we saw in Romans 6 and Romans 7. With his people dwelling in him, by his obedience, by him bearing our sin and bearing the wrath of God, we were crucified in him, and the body of our sin was destroyed, so that we're dead to sin, free from sin, justified from sin, and also we're free from the law. We're dead to the law by the body of Christ. So what that means is, as we've seen, brethren, the devil can't accuse us. That his works was, day and night, Scripture said, he accused God's people before the Father. Now he can't accuse us, because we have no sin for him to accuse us with. He's gone. He can't accuse us before God's law. So John said back there in 1 John 3:5, he said, "You know he was manifested to take away our sins, and in Christ is no sin." But there was something else that had to be done. There was a work the devil was doing in us, whereby we saw what he does to his children. He makes it so all they can do is murder Christ and murder the brethren. They have no love for Christ or the brethren, and they can't believe on Christ at all and rest in him. And so he had to destroy that work in me and you, because we all were under the power of the devil, as Ephesians 1 said. And so our Lord Jesus came forth, and he, through his righteousness, we saw how he sent us that spirit of adoption and made us to be born again. Just a review, 1 John 2:29, that's what he meant when he said, if you know that he's righteous, if you know that it's all through his righteousness, everything we receive is through his righteousness, if you know he that doeth righteousness, he that believes on Christ and loves his brethren, he does it because he's been born of God. Now, we saw in Galatians, go to Titus 3, a couple pages back, right before Hebrews, Titus 3. I showed you in Galatians how that he came forth, and it was through his righteousness. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we might receive the spirit of adoption and be born again. Now look here, same thing in Titus 3. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little embarrassed about this. I didn't see this until about 6 months ago. I really didn't. Not because I'm always looking at this verse showing how we're regenerated. But look what he says, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, having been justified by His grace, if you know that He's righteous, if you know that this is done because He's righteous, having been justified by His grace, we should be made heirs. We should be given the spirit of adoption and be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So He said, for that reason, He sent forth the Spirit into our hearts and we were born again. Now go with me over to Luke 11 and I'm going to show you Christ gave us an illustration of how He does this work inside His people. Luke 11, verse 21. He says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. That strong man he's talking about is the devil. And when he's armed and he's strong, he keeps his palace and his goods are in peace. His palace and his goods are those people he's keeping under his dominion, under his power. And that's where you and I were at one time. Now watch this. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, that's Christ. He taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted. Christ took all the devil's power when he took all the sins of his people away, because now the devil's got nothing to accuse us with. Nothing to accuse us with. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Christ put away our sin. And Christ took the reign in our hearts. Look at it. He takes from Him all His armor wherein He trusted. He's come and put away our sin. He's taken dominion in our heart. And He divideth His spoils. A victor goes in and conquers. He's stronger and he goes in and he conquers the strong man, and he takes all his the spoils. The victor go, to the victor go the spoils. The spoils are all his people, all Christ's people. So he comes upon the devil. He put away our sins. So he comes in now, and we're born again by the new birth, and he takes us from the devil. And now Christ has dominion over us. And so since that's true, go back to our text now. Now Christ has destroyed the works of the devil for us on the cross. And when He does this within us in the new birth, this is the result. Right here. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. When He does this, we've been born of God. We've been born of Christ, our everlasting Father. First time we were born of Adam, the first head. He's not our everlasting Father if we're a child of God. Because Christ is called by Isaiah the everlasting Father. And when you're born of Christ, the last Adam, He'll be your Father forever, for everlasting. So, when He does this, we do not commit sin. We don't commit the sin that those of the devil do, that we did when we were held captive by the devil. We don't reject Christ. We don't apostatize from Christ. We do righteousness unto the end. We believe on Christ, abide in the doctrine, and we love our brethren. Look at now at this next thing. He says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Here's why. For His seed remains in him. I'll just read this to you since we've seen it. But he's talking about 1 Peter 1:21. It's just a couple of pages over if you want to see it. 1 Peter 1:21. He says, who by Christ do believe in God. It's by Christ that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith, we're talking about this is what doing righteousness is, believing on Christ, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you purified your souls in obeying the truth, believing the truth, through the Spirit, unto what? Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. There's faith and love. faith in Christ and love to our brethren. Now watch. How did it come about? Being born again, not of corruptible seed. That's how he's born the first time. But of incorruptible. By the Word of God. The Word of God's the incorruptible seed. And it liveth and abideth forever. That's two important words here. It lives forever and it abides forever. Now look, verse 25, and at the end, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now Christ, when he was telling us about the devil, he said he's a liar and he abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. There's no truth in him. Back in 1 John 2 and verse 4, he says, here's why a child of the devil doesn't believe on Christ and love his brethren as God commanded. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments. There is a ton of people in this world that say they know Christ, but they don't believe on Christ and they don't love Christ's brethren. And we're going to, next week, we're going to see how that's brought out a little more when we start looking at love. But look here. But this is why he doesn't do it. He's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But when you've been born of the incorruptible seed, he said, now the word's in you. Now the truth is in you. And, you know, just like that, just like the seed by which we're born in natural generation accomplished the work of making us the sons of our Father, well, this seed, this incorruptible seed in regeneration accomplishes the work of making us like our everlasting Father. He says here, because of this, 1 John 3:8, he cannot sin. I'm sorry, verse 9, and he cannot sin. Not only do we not commit that sin, not only do we not commit the sin of unbelief and of hating our brethren, we cannot commit it. We cannot commit it. We can never cease believing on Christ. We can never cease loving our brethren. Because Christ put away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Our body of sin's dead, so we're justified. We're dead to the law by the body of Christ, and no charge can be laid to us. That's before the law. And men will say, well, that's not what John's talking about. Yeah, but because that's true, justice demands this work be done within us that he is talking about. And this work, when it's done within us, makes us to be born of the incorruptible seed. And you know why Paul said, I know that in me, now let me qualify that is, in my flesh dwells no good thing. You know why he made that qualification? Because when you're born of God, there's something new created in you that's of God. And you better not say it's not good. Because it is. It is. Listen to this. Ephesians 4:24 calls it a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10 says it's a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ that created him. There's a new man in every believer that is the spitting image of Christ, our everlasting Father. Everybody used to say, Will just look just like me. Well, he's my son. And sadly, now he acts a lot like me. But when we're born of him, there's a new man created in his image. And look at this. And we cannot sin, verse 9 says, because he is born of God. Look down at verse 23. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments, you know the ETH on the end of the word means perpetually. You'd never stop keeping. So he's saying, this is his commandment, and he that does never stop keeping this commandment, here's why he does it. Because he dwells in Christ, and Christ dwells in him. he's born of God. That's why. So brethren, that's the difference. By grace, God's made the child of God, those born of God, so that we cannot ever cease believing on Christ and loving our brethren. Now look at 1 John 5, and I'm going to close. This is going to be John's ending, and this tells us what he's writing this for. Look here. Let me read verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And here's why he wrote it. That you might know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That you might never stop looking to Him. Now look down at verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And it's we're going to see this. He that is begotten, of God is kept. That's what it's talking about. He of God himself is kept. That's the literal translation. And he's saying, and that wicked one touches him not. He's saying we're kept by the power of God. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come, and hath given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true, and we're in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now here he says, here's my whole point of this whole epistle. Little children, now you keep yourselves from idols. Don't look anywhere but to Christ. That's what Rob was saying. Every chastening that the Lord puts us to is to turn us back to Christ, to make us make straight paths back to Christ, that we might continue being partakers of His holiness. That's why. That's the whole point. All right, amen.